continues.
This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks. And now the man who was snapping the ball to Grady Bennett back in 1986.
That's right.
Bryce Wilson.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Yeah. And I bring that up because tonight's cross country.
Yeah, that's a good lead into tonight's football game. Crosstown down at Legend Stadium.
And neither one of you will be suiting up.
No, we will not. Nope. We'll be on the field, though. I'll be on the, actually, we'll be on the visitor side, but back in the day, back in 86, that was the home side.
That's right.
We used to, that's where the Braves used to stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why'd you switch?
I'm guessing it was something to do with the sun. The sun always was in our eyes, and it didn't ever seem like a great idea to have the home team looking into the sun, but we were. And I think it was something to do with the student body was right behind you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so that was, that's a great thing. Actually, the one nice thing about the visiting side, when you have the student section that we'll have tonight, is they'll be cheering right behind us, and so that'll be some nice extra energy in the stadium. 7 o'clock is the kickoff. Give yourself a little extra time because it will be only on the north side that you'll be able to enter the stadium. So that north gate and that northeast gate, rather, and the northwest gate. Look at maybe the health district and some of those parking lots would be a fairly short walk and have it on a sidewalk. So that's my thing as far as making sure if you want to get there and get there on time, because a lot of times these 7 o'clock games, people show up with like 5 minutes till. You're not going to get in on time. It's just the lines are too long. Hmm. We just don't have enough ticket takers to get that through. So give yourself an extra 10, 15 minutes. Come a little earlier. Grab Glacier's running concessions. It'll be fantastic. Get a hot dog or something and feed yourself a little later in the day with some popcorn, and they'll take care of you and come watch that game. The Braves fan section will be section G to the north, and Glaciers will be in front of the press box to the south, and then we'll have the visiting stands, and that'll primarily be the band and our student section. I know there'll be some parents that will want to sit over there. I warn you, though, that the student section does fill that section up fairly full. So you will have to maybe put up with a little bit of the students being right next to you.
I remember when I was in school, I always went to our games. The parents, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Our kids are great. And they, the crosstown up at Glacier, volleyball wasn't our great result, but as far as our kids being there and being respectful and cheering on our team was great, and it's great to see the school spirit, and we really hats off to them for what they've done. So we're looking for a good hard football game tonight, and we'll see you there at 7.
All right.
Or listen to John.
Yeah.
Sova,
well, Joe.
Joe Sova, rather.
Well, yeah. So yeah, it'll be Joe.
It'll be Joe. Yeah. So here's some news from the last week. It's you wouldn't really expect this for me to bring this up on the show, but I've got a reason why. So you guys probably heard about the Murdochs and the shooting that happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had 6 students that were at Murdochs, and they were selling Brave cards. Mm-hmm. And they were selling them in the front of the store and just outside. So when that whole incident happened,
oh my gosh,
one of the kids actually saw the gun, and he turned immediately and told his fellow students, run. So they immediately ran into the store. I think they might have coached up the employees inside that you need to go into your lockdown protocols. There's a gun outside. And our kids were able to go to the back of the store. They got away from the whole situation. Still very obviously very traumatic, but I bring that up because we talk about at schools the run, lock, fight protocol.
Yeah.
And from everything the police officers have told us, our kids did exactly what they should have, is they got away from the incident that was about to unfold, and they were in the store. I think the store actually locked down their doors. So they did the right thing as well, because then it, isolated the incident. 911 was called immediately. I think our kids maybe even initiated that. Mm-hmm. So they got out of the situation, called 911, and made sure they were in a safe place.
And they did that before the shots rang out.
Well, they did that as soon as they saw the gun.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know exactly where they were before the shots were fired, but they at least were moving before they were fired.
You know, and I'm wondering how quickly the store reacted, because they sell gun safes. I guess they don't sell guns, so they probably think, I was thinking, if you sold guns, wow, it could be one of ours, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think they actually do in the back there. They do sell some guns and stuff. But I think they locked down. They had a protocol of locking down the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we had two police officers that responded that were actually former resource officers at Flathead High School. And that was interesting too, because they also talked to our kids. And first of all, they, you know, just having that rapport and knowing, you know, kind of talking with kids and knowing that it's going to be a little different. But then they just had a great connection because they had been in the school.
Sure.
So that was, I guess a benefit of having resource officers in the school, that they had that connection with those kids already.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully we can continue that. It's obviously with some results this week, it's looking tough for schools coming forward. I think we're going to have, without some funding there and technology, that's going to affect the entire school district.
And the safety part of it too.
And the safety part is the other part that really is, you know, I can't stress it enough. I mean, it's you know, that's the world we live in. Who I would have never thought I would be talking on the radio about a parking space at Murdoch's, a shooting, and our kids.
Yeah.
But that's where the kind of, you know, society we right now we're in. And so it's very real.
Well, let's circle back now to the work that was done here a few years ago on the last bond issue to get our schools, at least the entrances and everything, safer.
Yeah, so we have done a lot of work. We've tried to, and we've had to use just general fund money. And you'll notice all the elementaries have a buzz-in system. Flathead's a little bit more of a challenge, but we have a door lock system that locks our doors and only opens them certain times throughout the day. So oftentimes only during passing periods can you get through our outside exterior doors, unless, of course, somebody lets you in. But, you know, if somebody's aggressively coming at the door, our kids aren't going to let them in. But if they're their friend, they might. So, you know, it's not perfect, but we do have a good system, and we do have a lockdown mechanism that we've gotten throughout the whole school. And there's several locations that can actually be activated, and it sounds out an alarm. Mm-hmm. And we can then, you know, work on where it's at and see what's actually going on.
Well, in the elementary schools, when you go in, you show your driver's license and it gives you, it spits out a badge.
Correct. Correct.
So they know who is in the school at any given time.
Yeah. And they do that. And we have people obviously check in at our main office. Again, it's just a little bit harder at Flathead High because we have 23 entrances and exits. We try to push everybody to the main office. And that's where, you know, that's what we try to do. But it is a little more challenging. Those elementaries are somewhat blessed because they have a main entrance, and everybody goes through that main entrance. Even, you know, so that's a challenge. But we also have a protocol throughout the whole school district now. Everybody has to wear a school badge and identification, and that's continually gotten better and better. So it's small steps. But it is going to take an effect because there are some other things we'd like to do. You know, we had a group that outside of the school district last year pay for and fund an audit, a security audit. And so what some of that money would have gone to is to address that audit and making sure that the schools were even safer than they are.
And we don't really want to talk about that audit because that would reveal,
right? Yeah, there's
some weaknesses we don't particularly want to get out there.
Weaknesses that we have, but you know, we are continually making it safer. I mean, I can say it's safer now than it's been the last 17 years since I've been at Flathead. I think we've continually, you know, we didn't be able to use to lock doors like we can now, where we can hit a one button and they're all locked, and I can actually do it from my phone. Mm-hmm. I can actually You know, if I were to get a message right now, I could lock the doors at the school.
You know, I think we're in an era right now with the price increases. I don't want to call it inflation. We just think it's price hikes that's hitting everybody. That it probably, to get a school levy passed, is about a six-month informational campaign leading up to it. Because everybody is spending so much time in miscellaneous media, how do you grab the person who's the potential voter and say hello? Unless if you go door to door.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's a real challenge. And I think the challenge, too, is obviously everybody got the reevaluations of their property.
Yeah.
And, you know, I looked at mine first and I went, ooh.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it, and I am a math guy. And so I started like, wait a minute, this is based on mills. Yeah. And so the mills aren't going up because, you know, so it's pretty much the same. So now the cost of my taxes is not going to raise just because the evaluation of my property went up. Now, it might if mine went up more than my neighbor's. But my neighbor's, if his house goes down, he actually may have lesser taxes than he had before. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes people look at. And, you know, it's hard to grasp, and it's hard because everybody, you know, it's the one thing we can vote on in taxes is the schools. And so I get it. You know, it's like the one thing that you can say, you know what, I've had enough. I don't want to be taxed anymore.
Now, STEM, what does that stand for?
The STEM?
Yeah.
The science, technology, engineering and math. Yeah.
And math. See, now that's the part. But people are having trouble with the Mills thing, and that's scaring them.
That Mills is, I mean, it's a complicated formula. I mean, I think right now you have the state is actually suing Missoula County over Mills, and that they're not collecting the full 95 Mills in Missoula County. And I think it's only because they were the first ones to act on it.
Well, we're not doing it in Flathead County as of yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and there's a number of counties following suit.
Well, MACO, that's the Montana Association of Counties, all of them are eventually going to do it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's it's going to be interesting, I guess, to see how this all pencils out. I think it'll be interesting once everybody gets their tax bill that I don't think the taxes rate is going to go up a whole lot for a lot of folks now, because of the mills.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The property taxes are supposed to stay in the area in which they're collected ultimately?
No.
They
some
don't.
Of it goes to the state.
So that's part of the reason why this whole thing is because it's an equalization tax, really, so that it helps those
other
counties
areas
that aren't as affluent as some counties are.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
So that's part of the reason that that's the one that I think that they're contesting. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But they're dropping it down from 95 to 77.9. We're going to get Pete Melnick in tomorrow morning.
Our
county administrator. He'll explain it to us. And then we'll get Governor Greg Gianforte on the phone at 9:30 to explain it from his point of view.
Okay.
And then you can at least hear all sides of it and decide what you think.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it really would make a difference.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know that part of it. I'll just know that, you know, it's a Mills thing and that I won't weigh in on that one. That's for sure.
But okay, you, the governor will be at 9:10.
Oh, 9:10
in the morning.
10? Okay.
Yeah. So don't tune in late. You'll miss him.
Yeah. 9:10. Okay. Okay. But here's the point, though, I think, and that you're alluding to is that so many things going on about our taxes, our property taxes right now. It was just too confusing to approve this one.
Yeah.
Even the elementary district, which usually passes.
I agree. I think that especially when everybody got those evaluations, at least I did.
Yeah.
I meant, oh, wow, this is going up a lot. And you wouldn't, why would you not? Because it shows you your new assessed value and it says these are your taxes. But then there is a disclaimer that this is only an estimate. Your taxes actually haven't been figured out yet. I mean, there was that on there, and I didn't read it. And it's like, okay. So, I mean, I think when I get the tax bill here in this next month, I think that it will be very, hopefully, a little bit more hopeful.
I pay directly. Mine isn't withheld, so I I have to pay it November and May.
I do too.
And so,
Well, for most people, it's almost transparent because it's just
part of the mortgage. Yeah.
Right. Most people wouldn't see it. Yeah. Like I write a check twice a year. So anyway, those are some big challenges. Obviously, we wrapped up flag football. We wrapped up golf last week.
Yeah.
So we're clicking off the fall activities. We are having that search. It's going to be through the 13th, so next Friday, for that basketball, the girls' basketball position.
Yeah. Any interesting candidates you can share with us?
I just know that there's been interest, and we've got at least one person in the pool, and I expect to have at least five, if not more, in the pool. And, you know, the girls have come in and said, you know, here, these are some people that we think would be great.
And, well, that's cool.
Yeah, and I just like make sure and let them know that, you know, I appreciate them giving input, but don't hold me to anything because it's your input and the committee truly decides.
Yeah.
So, they have some good thoughts and they're very thoughtful of coming in and just talking about, you know, they want to see the program continue in a successful manner.
Boy, Sam has certainly done miracles with that program.
He is. Yeah. I always say he's one of the undervalued coaches in the state of Montana. People don't realize just the ability he did.
It's bad enough that we lost him as a coach, but the fact that we lost him as an educator too really saddens me.
Yeah, you know, that's the case where, you know, again, we've had several, I think, incredibly gifted educators who have stepped away to the private sector, and mainly because they could make more. And it's very sad. He had great connections with kids. I can't tell you how many kids I saw this summer and they go, oh, can't wait till I'm in tutor's class this year. You know? And so when he waited till the last minute really, and it was just hard for him to make that decision.
Yeah.
And so when he did step away, it was like, wow, kids are going to miss him.
Yeah.
They're going to miss him. Mm-hmm. And we're going to miss him all along. And I get to talk to him all the time and feel blessed that I still have a good relationship with Fred, with Sam, and just all that what he's done.
All right.
So,
is that all you got for us today?
You know, I can give you, well, that, you know, there's a few things that, you know, we do have 7-on-7 today for cross country.
All right.
So that's going to be in Helena. And some really cool things about that is, you know, it's a great 7-on-7 is so your number ones run against your number ones, but your number twos run against your number twos. So some of your kids will have success today that they have never had because they get to run just against the other team's person that's in their spot.
Ah, okay.
So you'll have some kids that'll win that race that are right now, you know, they're maybe in the, you know, 20s or something on the course. Right. So that's good. And then just we'll go back to Rebecca Farm, October 21st. Anybody out there that would like to, you know, volunteer, really it just comes to coming out, wearing an orange vest, walking around the course, making sure that everybody's running the full course and no skipping around. But it really, you know, it's a really nice time. And I've put it out to our staff. I'm guaranteeing the Wilson forecast will be, the AccuCast is, we will have a better time than the last weather events we had at State Cross Country.
Okay.
That's my AccuCast there.
All right. Hey, it's always a great conversation. Thank you, Bryce Wilson.
Thanks, guys.